Thank you for joining me today in this broadcast of The Love Way. I believe that we're going to be blessed by God's unconditional love again. Last night I was just lying in bed and thinking of the goodness of God and just realized again that there's no end to God's goodness in Jesus Christ. He has come and He has set us free from everything that has been binding us. Let us just go into the Word of God straight away and just share with you about the whole thing that is called the license to sin. You know, so many times people are afraid of the word of grace. And I want to bring comfort to your heart today by saying you don't have to be afraid of the word of God's grace. Without the word of God's grace, it will be impossible for you to reach the very desire that's in your heart concerning holiness and concerning righteousness. The only way for man to change and to really be in the image of God is for you to come to a place where you realize the grace of God. If you can realize the grace of God, believe the grace of God, and by grace, life can start to reign in your life, and you will not be under death anymore, you will find that your deeds change, your thought patterns change, everything changes. Let me tell you this. So many times when we look at Romans chapter 12 from verse 1, it says, "Be transformed by the renewal of your mind." And then we think, I must change my mind. How will you ever get it right to change your mind by your own power? The only way for you to renew your mind is by simply listening to the gospel of God's unconditional love, mercy, and grace. And as you listen to that, you will find that that gospel, the reasoning of God, and then the Holy Spirit on top of that, coming into your heart and bringing that change that you desire in your mind. So even the change of mind is a fruit of the Word of God that's been listened to and meditated upon. So all that we can do, as the Word of God says, labor to enter into the rest, is what the Bible says in Proverbs 4. It says, meditate upon the Word of God. Listen to the Word of God. So all you can do is take the Word, read the Bible, take somebody's message that's a good news preacher, put it into your CD player, listen to it over and over. And as you listen to it, you will start to get used to it. And that's how you must just indoctrinate yourself. As you indoctrinate yourself, you will find that that word brings a change to your mind. You'll start to believe different. You'll start to think different because of the hearing of the word. A change of mind is the same as faith. Faith is not something that you must do out of your own power to please God and to get the gospel to work. Now, faith is something that happens to you because the gospel has been at work in your life. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So does healing come. Healing comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, because you have believed it or had faith in it. So comes a change of mind. A change of mind comes because you've been hearing the word of God, and that word has convinced you about something better and greater than what you've been used to. Now, if you've been hearing the message of God's grace and you've been in your heart afraid of really resting in that, as I've been speaking to many people, I've had people say to me, Bertie, you know, the message of God's grace, the first time I heard it, it sounded too good to be true, and it sounded as something that will just produce apathy in the lives of people and make people lazy. And get people not to want to serve God with all their heart. Now, and he said that as he was listening to that message, he realized that it's not like that. It brings an excitement. Now, I want to say this to you. If you've been listening to the message of God's grace, if you've been hearing this on the Spirit Word channel or wherever you've tuned in and you heard somebody preach on God's unconditional love, mercy, and grace, and you've in the beginning been afraid to take it, don't worry. The Word of God says that he who has been drinking of the old wine and you offer him the new, doesn't take the new straight away because he says the old is better. But thank God it says doesn't take it straight away. Later on you will take it. So just keep on listening to the good news and you'll find a persuasion in your heart by the Holy Spirit which is behind this message. There's nothing... we think that God wants a balance between the law and grace. That will be like saying God wants a balance between sin and righteousness. You cannot say it that way. And we're going to look today at why I say that, and the whole thing about the license to sin, that grace being called the license to sin, and a wrong interpretation of Romans chapter 6. And I'm going to just read Romans chapter 6 verse 1. It says here, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Now, you see, so many times when we look at Romans chapter 6 verse 1, we will come from Romans chapter 3 and we will preach a wonderful message of how it's not by works, how it is by grace, and how God is good to you, and how God separated you from death and gave you life. And as Abraham, Romans chapter 4, by faith, righteously was reckoned righteous, and righteousness was imputed unto him, and he pleased God by faith, just believing that even if his own body is dead, life can still come. As we believe by our flesh, there's no life. You know, life comes by believing on Jesus. All of that wonderful message comes, and we say, yes, hallelujah. And then comes Romans chapter 6, verse 1, and says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And all of a sudden, it's as if there's this finger pointing at us, telling us, listen, grace is wonderful, but don't go and sin. Grace is wonderful, but the law is still there that says you should not sin, and you should obey that. And it's as if it cancels out the freedom that you felt in your heart. It's as if you say, well, thank God for grace. At last I am free. And then somebody comes and says, yes, but remember, you are still not allowed to sin. Not that you've even been desiring to sin, but you know that it is so difficult not to sin at all that it almost is as if there's an accusation against you before you've even begun your grace walk. Now, we should not mix in the law with grace. Because the moment we mix in the law with grace, like if you go and read from Romans chapter 7 verse 1, it says that we should, if Christ died, he died towards the law on our behalf, so that the body of sin is now dead. And we've died towards the law to be married to another one, to be married to Jesus. And if we are married to Christ and we still say we'll be blessed by what we do, and God wants us to be justified by what we do, we are in adultery. So let's not have an adulterous relationship with the law whilst being married to Christ. And that's what I see so many times. We must realize that the law is more than just commandments. The law is the foundation on which the commandments are laid. Like Christ is the foundation on which any teaching should be laid, the law, being the mentality that you are not but that you must become, was the foundation on which any commandment can be laid. Commandment is anything you think you must do in order to become like God. The real temptation for Adam and Eve in the beginning was to be like God. And I see that same temptation today in the church. People are desiring to be like God, to be holy, to be righteous, to be blessed like God. And then they say, well, I am not that. I want to become that. God, what must I do to become righteous? And the moment they say that, that's where sin settles in, and that's where death settles in. You might say, but how's that possible? Well, we're going to look at that in a moment. Let's quickly go to Romans chapter 5, verse 19. It says, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But wherein sin abounded, grace did much more abound, that as sin reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness, or the obedience of Jesus, unto eternal life by Jesus Christ. So what does he say here? He says that sin entered through the disobedience of one man. And the disobedience of Adam was not the disobedience to the law, but it was the disobedience to grace. And I want to just clarify what grace is. Grace is not God treating you better than you deserve. Grace is not God's unmerited favor. That's not grace. Grace is the influence that God has in your life because of the Holy Spirit that dwells in you and because of what God has done in Jesus Christ in the New Testament. So when Adam disobeyed, he disobeyed in this sense. He said, I'm not going to obey God when God said, you are what you are because I dwell in you. But I'm going to disobey that and say, I'm going to be like God by what I want to do. So he became disobedient from the very nature of God. Now, I want to clarify that because you might think, oh, well, I feel I must do good, then I don't do good. That's not that. That feeling of wanting to do good, if you're under the law, can produce a lot of sin in you, according to Romans 7. But what Adam has done is he rejected the intuition or the indwelling or the holiness because of God that's in him. And he exchanged that for another form of doctrine, which says, I'll be like God by what I do. So, when Adam sinned, when he was disobedient, and in the New Testament we'll call that he has fallen from grace. He says, I'm not justified by grace anymore. Not that he needed justification, but let's put it another way. I am not holy and righteous because of God, but I will be holy and righteous because of what I do. When he rejected that which God has given him, sin entered in. Now it says, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. So how are we righteous? We are righteous by the obedience of Jesus, by the obedience of one. You are not righteous by your own obedience. You can be disobedient and be called righteous because of the obedience of Jesus Christ. You might say, Bertie, but that's very dangerous to say that. Now, let me put it this way. There's no one, no, not one, that is righteous according to his own obedience. You can read that in Romans here from in chapter 3. It's clear. It says there's no one righteous, no, not one. According to the law, there's no one righteous. According to his obedience, there's no one righteous. So if you say you are righteous by your obedience, you say that you are self-righteous. By my obedience, I'm righteous. And that's what's called self-righteousness. Now, I am not self-righteous, but I am Jesus-righteous because my self-righteousness is not righteous enough so that I can be called righteous or holy. So Jesus came on my behalf, and as everybody of us somewhere in our life has got some disobedience according to the law of Moses, he came and obeyed on our behalf so that we can be called righteous. So our righteousness is from Jesus. Now, listen to this. He says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. So when the law entered, when the law was given, the offense abounded. But where sin abounded, so what is this offense? This offense is called or manifests as sin. When the law entered, the offense abounded and sin became abounded even more. Let me read it. For as by one man's, verse 20, moreover the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. So what he actually says is, he says, when the law entered in, we were seen as very disobedient. Sin was just magnified because of our inability to obey the law. But what it says is, actually, let me put it in easy words. He says that the obedience of Christ was much greater than the disobedience of man. Where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. Grace being that by the obedience of one, many shall be made righteous. So by the obedience of Jesus, you've been made righteous. And by your sin, by your sin, unrighteousness was seen in your life and just magnified. But the obedience of Jesus was much greater than your disobedience or the disobedience of Adam. So the more disobedient you would have been, the more obedience of Christ was imputed unto you to cancel out your disobedience, and it was even greater to impute this righteousness unto you. Okay, so sin abounded because of the law. Now verse 21. That as sin has reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness, which is by the obedience of Jesus, unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Now, what is the context of grace abounding? The context of grace abounding was can be read in verse 20, because you must read verse Romans 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 in one sitting and you'll understand it. But what it says here is, he says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. So what does the law do? The law makes you, and in the next session I will clarify this, because it's not literally the law, it is sin using the law, but let's for simplicity's sake say it this way. The law makes you more sinful and brings forth more sin in your life. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So how did we sin? We fell into sin by being under the law. More sin is seen in our life by being under the law. Now he says, shall we continue to sin so that grace may abound? Because grace abounds where we are under the law and sin comes forth in our life. So we can read Romans chapter 6 verse 1 actually in a different way. Let me read it to you in the context of the previous couple of verses. It says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue to stay under the law so that sin can be seen in our lives so that grace may abound? God forbid. Man, isn't that awesome? Let me read it again, and I want you to get this. We've always thought that grace is a license to sin, but it's not. It's actually the opposite way. The law is the license that your flesh uses to start to sin. So what he says, yes, he says, what shall we say then? In other words, here Jesus come, he obeyed on our behalf. He's made us free. The law made us more sinful because we're under the law. Now he says, what shall we do with this Jesus? Remember, it's a question. He's asking a question. What shall we do since Jesus obeyed on our behalf and made us righteous? And through the law, we are sinful. Shall we continue to sin? In other words, shall we now then continue to be under the law? He says, no, God forbids that, because God's nature will stop that, because he has fulfilled the law so that we will not be under sin anymore, because he has obeyed on our behalf that we don't need the law anymore. Man, I just feel I need to say this again. Paul's asking a question. He's saying, what shall we say then? Shall we continue to sin? We've got somebody that has set us free from seeking righteousness by what we do. And we've come to the realization that as I seek righteousness by the law, I find more sin in my life. So I sin because I'm under the law. What shall we do then with Jesus that obeyed the law on our behalf? Shall we continue now with the law of Moses so that sin can abound, so that grace can abound much more? He says, no. When we come to Christ, God's nature in us, the moment we believe it, will forbid this sin. God will resist this sin. And then he explains how God resists the sin in our lives by the Holy Spirit. Verse 2. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? If Christ came and he obeyed the law on our behalf, and he died towards the law on our behalf, we are dead to the law. What it means to be dead to the law, it means that we don't live there anymore. We don't live in the law anymore. He says, how shall we sin if we are now under grace and through the law sin came to our lives? So, verse 1, he says, shall we continue under the law? No, how shall we sin if we are not continuing under the law anymore, because we've died unto sin because the law was fulfilled? Verse 3. Know you not that so many as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? And the death that he died was, he died towards the law. When he died towards the law, it meant that as a man or a woman are married and the one dies, then the other one has got nothing to do with him anymore because he's dead. So the law has got nothing to do with you anymore. It's got nothing to do with Christ. It's got nothing to do with me. It only testified that Christ would come and make us righteous, and that we will not be justified by our works. So When Christ died, He died on the behalf of man towards the law. He says, therefore, we are buried with Him in baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we shall also walk in the newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. So the message of grace is not sin promoting. In this sense, it will not bring forth sin in your life. It will bring forth the holiness of God. It says here that we will not be a servant of death because we've been freed from sin. It says because the old man has died. Now the old man is not that. In so many times we think that the old man is just my sinful nature. Well, it includes that. The old man is the man that lived under the old covenant, and the new man is the man that lives under the New Testament. Okay, so under the old covenant there was an old man. The old man was a man that stood before God and said, I'm going to be justified by what I do. When Jesus came, He came in the form of that old man. He was born under the law, the Bible says. So Jesus, when He came as an old man. An old man standing under the law. Then He represented your old man. Your a sinful nature. He represented you. He represented that man that stood before God saying, I'm going to be justified by what I do. And then He lived holy as the old man and brought righteousness towards us. And then, thank God, He died. So when He died, the old man that had a relationship with God, based on what you do, you will become, died. So He does not exist anymore. He's dead. He doesn't exist. Then He was resurrected so that you are now a new man if you are in Christ. If you want to be justified by the law, you are busy with a resurrection service of the old covenant and the old man. And the old man's nature will be resurrected in you, which is the sinful nature. So what shall we do then? Shall we continue with the old man so that sin might be in my life? Or shall I reject the whole do's and don'ts message? By what I do, I'm justified. By what I do, I'm blessed. By what I do, I'm prosperous. And are we going to reject that and reject sin and accept Jesus Christ and allow the new man to take its rightful place in our lives so that we can be set free from death and the bondage of sin? Or are we going to continue in the law and say, oh, well, you know, God is gracious. If you continue in the law, you are using grace or mercy as a license to sin. This is what I wanted to say the whole time. If you are continuing in the law, you are abusing the mercy of God. Shall we continue in the law so that grace may abound? No. God will forbid you to be under the law and do's and don'ts, because when Jesus was resurrected, you received a new life and you stand before God free from works. Man, that is awesome. It is so, so powerful. You know, I can just teach this. A revelation, I believe, is not taught, it's caught. You need to ask the Holy Spirit to give you an enlightened mind to just understand this and go and study the Scriptures. Man, you know, when you sign a contract with somebody to buy a house or a car or something, or to go in business with somebody, you will read that contract, you will study that contract, you'll go to somebody and pay him money, called a lawyer, and he will read the contract on your behalf and explain to you what's really standing there, so that you can stand in a relationship with somebody. Now, how much more with God and when it comes to eternal life? Man, it is so much more. We need to in depth study the Scripture. The Scripture clearly teaches us here that what shall we do then? Shall we still abide under the law so that sin, so that grace might abound towards us? No. What he says is, and this is the question he asked, and he answers it as well. He says, God will forbid that you will stand under the law, because how shall we who are dead to sin by die, because he died towards the law, and we are dead to sin and the impulses of sin in our lives. Why are we dead to sin and the impulses of sin in our lives? Because sin uses the law, and in the next session I'm going to talk about this, to live. Sin uses the law to find life in your physical body and to manifest itself. It says we are dead to sin because the old man, the man that had a relationship with God by works, has died. How did he die? Christ died that death on behalf of man, and then he was resurrected. So let me put it this way. If you are still under the law and you are fighting for the law, you are just, in Afrikaans, we will say, jy's net asprisma. You are just deliberately using grace and using this whole message of God's mercy and the law, not grace and mercy, you're using the law as a license for sin in your life. Your sinful nature takes the law and manifests through that. And as long as what you are under the law, you are abusing God's grace. You are abusing who He is. You are misusing Him. Let's get under grace, for our God is a consuming fire. Not in judgment, I say that. He's a healing goodness, is what consuming fire literally means. The word consume is the word heal in the Hebrew language. And fire is the goodness of God that was on the mountain that was declared unto Moses in Exodus chapter 33, verse 17, and then verse 34, verse 67. So, shall we continue to sin? No, we will not, because we've been set free and we've got the new nature of God indwelling us, and we shall not continue to sin because we're not under the law. Know this, the law is the license that your flesh needs to start to sin, and grace is the license that your spirit needs to start to manifest holiness. Thank you that you've joined me in this broadcast. If you want to make use of our ministry products, you're more than welcome. Our ministry products are available for a donation of any amount. And I just want to say this, the guys from Nigeria that asked me to send CDs to them, I've been sending too many to Nigeria and nobody receives it. So I'm not going to send CDs anymore, but we will rather send you an email with an outline of the sermon. So if you want that, man, for a donation of any amount, you can just contact us and we will send you the sessions. We've got a series of 10 in the fulfillment of the law. There's a wonderful series out as well called The Truth, The Grace of God in Finances, which is a 12-part series that is up for a donation of any amount. Thank you, and we're waiting for your prayer request and your praise report that you can send to the number on the screen. God bless you.